Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted. This is your trigger warning. This podcast contains unfiltered conversations about trauma, abuse, and survival. Discretion is advised. This is not therapy or medical advice, just real people sharing real stories. So please take care of yourself and pause if you need to. If this conversation hits home, grab the book Survival Mode Exit Plan, your raw, unapologetic blueprint to break free. Available now by scanning the QR code or clicking the link in the comments. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. It's your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor. And this week we have Tracy with us. So, Tracy, why don't you introduce yourself?
Okay. Hi. Well, I'm happy to be here and sharing this journey with all the other folks. I'm Tracy. I live in Seattle, Washington, and I am a divorce coach. I help women and men going through their own season of trauma, you could say. And I also do a lot of real estate investing and projecting and DIYing. So in addition to raising two great, emotionally capable young men.
Well, I'm really excited to have you here today. So tell us your story to and through Survival Mode.
Yeah. What I want to talk about with my story is, and like we're talking about before diving into this, I feel like my story could almost look too regular, right? I got married to my now ex-husband after knowing him for a short period of time, under 6 months. And, first I got pregnant with my partner after knowing him for 6 months. We had a son, and then a few years later had another son. And I think that's really where the story kind of initiated for me of just getting a little off course. You know, we weren't the most aligned partnership, but we stayed together because the kids, and why not have another one? And I really stopped listening to myself incrementally and started listening to society, like stay together, be a good girl, be a good Christian, you know, stay in a marriage because it's the right thing to do. And I would feel this feeling in my stomach of like, oh, this is not right. Or I would notice things about my relationship, but I just started lying to myself. I started saying like, oh, relationships are all really hard, or this is regular, that is regular. And just more and more things started happening. We'd go on vacation and there'd be a fight and I wouldn't be talked to for the whole time, or language in front of the kids, be like, mommy's really tired, or mommy can't do this. And just really kind of almost gaslighting me in front of my children to say, to dismiss my emotions, dismiss my feelings, and being cast off as an emotional female or wrong because I disagreed. I think that was the biggest thing for me. I'm wrong because I disagree with you, or I see things differently. And that was kind of just the very jumbled up premise of the story for us. And I would fast forward to a pinnacle where for years, and this is what I think a lot of women can resonate with, like for years, I knew I was in a misaligned partnership. I knew it, but it just felt too hard to do anything about it, right? It's just like, how do I leave this? How do I change this? I just can't do it. I cannot leave my kids alone. They were at the time two and five. And when I first realized, like, I need to change this. And I moved out once for a little while, right? Like they say it takes seven times to end a relationship or leave a, you could say, abusive relationship. It does. And like we were talking about too, I'm a pretty regular white woman, right? I live in Seattle, I've got great friends, I'm happy, I'm fit. We didn't initially have a lot of money, then grew into being comfortably middle class. Everything was fine. Everything was fine, and yet inside, it wasn't. And so I eventually got pregnant a third time and ended up having a miscarriage. And it was during that, specifically during that moment, that I finally realized that what I was living through, I didn't have language for it or a label for it. But I knew it wasn't the life I wanted to live. I was actively miscarrying, bleeding out. My husband at the time was out of the country. He just came home. And I was in our little bathroom by the toilet. And he was just in front of the doorway, which I now know, like, blocking and entrapping people in rooms is like not, it's just not okay. It doesn't matter what word you have for it, it's just not okay. And those of us who've experienced it in the moment, you just live through it. What else are you going to do? And he just looked at me and was like, "You killed this baby. You didn't want her, and so she died. And this is your fault. And you're already, we don't have a lot of support as women. One out of four women have had a miscarriage, and yet we don't have a lot of support or language for how to just deal with that alone." And then on top of that, I have this person telling me this is my fault, that I created this, which is just medically inaccurate. This is a baseline fact. And I'm being trapped in a small bathroom, taking in all of that. And I just felt this like earthquake like shift in me where I was like, never again. Never again will I touch this person. Will I trust this person? Will I connect with this person in any way other than parenting my children with him? Because this is not for me. And that was the beginning of me unraveling that relationship and coming back home to myself and trusting myself and trusting what is right and true for me. So that's kind of like that backstory. And from there, just led to all of the wildness of divorce and separating and starting a new life.
That pivotal moment, that reconciliation, though, as someone who has had multiple miscarriages, it's heavy. It's a lot to process. And I couldn't imagine then having to deal with that as well, not having that support. So, what did it look like for you once you made that decision to move on?
Yeah, it looked really fierce for me and like kind of like tunnel vision, where you're like, it's like you know that you're going for something, whether it's in the middle of a trauma or a business venture or whatever, you know it's something that you care about when you have tunnel vision. You're like, it's singular. I don't know how, but I know what. And so I didn't know how it was all going to happen, but I knew what was going to happen. And so I just had a goal to get out of that house. And it's, I actually haven't thought about this stage for a while, but it was real tingly in the beginning. And I think anyone who's trying to get out of a home, I don't know that we talk about it. And that's why this platform is so amazing, because there was one night where, we had to figure out the logistics. How do you get out of the house? Where are you going to move to? We live in Seattle in a very expensive city. So we kind of toggled in and out of the house. And there was some nights where I was home and my ex wanted to still talk with me and he would wake me up. Or one night he was really angry and I remember he just gathered all my clothes and threw them on the front porch. This is like in the middle of a nice neighborhood in Seattle. And then we had a camper van. I would go sleep in the camper van to get out of the house. I mean, it was like messy. And it's almost at the time, it's kind of, and even now, it's kind of embarrassing to say it out loud. And haven't told many people, my immediate, even friend group now to this day, this is 6 years ago, that I would go sleep in the van on the road. So I wouldn't, so I could actually just sleep. So I wouldn't be woken up and fought with. But basically, I fiercely knew I was going to get out of that home. We owned a rental property together, and I was able to put all my chips on the table and negotiate to find a way to buy that house out from him. And I did that and moved my boys into the home, and that's where I am now. And yeah, the thing I'll say about that is that was about the course of a year, right? We can talk about these big transitions and we have a few sentences about them, but so many nights of sobbing, crying, the heartache of leaving your children, not of leaving the marriage, but leaving your children is what it feels like. And I will say, when I finally moved into this house and I was lying in my bed the first morning I was in the home, I woke up and I was feeling like, oh my gosh, there's something today. There is an event. Is there a party? Like, what's happening today? And I remember after I woke up a little bit thinking, no, there's no event. There's no thing today. This is just, I feel peaceful. It's not excitement. I just feel peace. This is what it feels like. And for me, peace feels like just warm and exciting. And I didn't realize how unfamiliar that feeling was for so many years. Right? That's what we know collectively. Like,
Collectively.
we don't know how good it is until we're over there. We can tell you there's another side. It's gonna get better, but you really don't know until you get there just how good it is.
Did you find yourself struggling with the piece at first?
Honestly, no. It was so welcome. It was so good. I will say, I found myself struggling when I then got into a relationship with my now partner. I struggled with knowing something could just be easy. I didn't realize something could just be smooth and simple. I was always like, when you're in a car, like waiting for the car crash. That's how I felt for a while, even maybe for the first year or two. I felt like, oh no, is this going to be bumpy? Is this going to be hard? That was a transition for me.
And it's something that we have to learn, right? One of the things that happened for me on my journey is I had spent many years in toxic relationships, practically from the age of 14. I had been in toxicity after toxicity, and there was this small window where I was with someone that was actually like, it was healthy, and it was boring to me because I had gotten used to chaos. And at that time, because I hadn't worked on my healing, I wasn't able to identify that that's why it was boring. Because the chaos and the constant state for me, I was in a constant state of fight or flight. I didn't know what it meant to have peace. I didn't know what it meant to have calm. And my body, my brain was like, this isn't familiar and I don't like it. But once, I spent time committing to my healing and really defining what peace looked like for me, joy looked like for me without those societal constructions and controls. That was when I realized, actually, I might have already had this, but I couldn't appreciate it at the time. So let me ask you this. How would you describe survival mode?
Like before you get out, or like when you're in survival mode, I think it's just a just extreme detachment from self, and it's truly just doing what you feel like you have to do and not knowing you have agency to do more. It's reactive. It's not really focused on your deeper, truer sense of what you know is right, but it's just reacting to typically what you feel like another person has put the position they've put you into. So I think that when I live, when I was in survival mode, and when I see people in it, they just lack any mental capacity to believe they have agency.
And I agree with you there wholeheartedly. I think one of the biggest freedoms in accident survival mode is the agency, that radical ownership of self, and
Yes.
really recognizing how much power you actually have. Because I think our circumstances often erase our recognition of that. And we tend to just go with the flow instead of just taking that ownership.
Like, we don't know. One of the things I do so often with women I'm working with as they leave their divorces that have a variety of backgrounds is help them realize that they have a no. I was just talking with a woman the other day who was struggling with saying no to a set of false expectations and false expectations that her ex-husband had of her and their co-parenting relationship. And she just had this moment. I was like, you know, you can say no. And that's the end of the sentence, right? No is a complete sentence. But like, just knowing, like, she'd spent years capitulating and doing things to keep the peace when that will never keep or create peace. Denying yourself, like abandoning yourself, will never create peace. And we spend so much time thinking we can do the right thing, be correct, do what someone else wants you to do, and that will create peace. But when it's not sown in peace, it will never create peace.
And that is absolutely correct. Oftentimes, there is this illusion that keeping quiet, just going with the flow, will eventually create a better environment. But
Right.
what it actually does is just deny us our own truths. Like you talked about, you stop listening to yourself. Like you were disconnected from what was going on. Like what your desires were, because you were in this environment that probably stripped you of that.
And you kind of lose your creativity too of thinking outside of the bounds that you've, let's be clear, right? You're not responsible. This is not your fault. And also, you're then kind of complicit with it too. You're before we've woken up, before we say no, we are feeling like we have no other options. We truly believe that. We live that. We feel that. And yet we can get out of it.
What I say oftentimes is there are three phases, in my opinion, to accident survival mode. The first one is self-awareness. You can't change what you can't see. The second is reprogramming, revisiting those narratives that you've carried for a very long time that often have been created as a result of your circumstances, and then reinvention, because often we become this persona as a result of what we've had to survive, and we then hold on to her like it's $1 million without the recognition that who we became in order to survive isn't necessarily aligned with who we need to be in order to thrive.
I love that. Say that again. I just want to hear it again.
Who we become as a result of surviving isn't necessarily aligned with who we need to be in order to thrive.
Yes. Yeah, I so believe that. And that's so key because we do what we need to do. I know in my story, I was scurrying around, working three jobs, biking everywhere because I couldn't even afford gas for, like it was survival mode after in the departure. But that's not, I wasn't thriving there, but I had taken a step out. And then if I had maintained that mentality, I would still be scurrying around, living, thinking that was all that was there for me. When yet really, there's just so much more for us.
So much more. The world is literally our oyster,
I
but
know.
we are talked out of it. Like society really celebrates our ability to survive, right?
Yes.
Listen, don't get me wrong. I celebrate you too if you have survived.
Right.
However, survival is not the final destination.
Absolutely not.
And The reason why so many of us settle into this norm is because there isn't open discussions about this, right? Like a lot of people, first of all, don't identify with having been traumatized in certain aspects, which then means they are unaware that they're operating from trauma responses, which can be rewritten and changed, right? So, like, so much is unknown, so much isn't discussed, which is why so many people essentially stay stuck, you know?
Like stay stuck under the guise of thinking they're liberated, thinking
Yes.
like they've gotten there because they've gotten out. Let's say we're talking about getting out of a relationship, right? And then you're like, oh, I don't have that anymore. Like, and this is something I say all the time to my kids. Don't tell me what you don't want. Tell me what you do want, right? Survivor mode is, oh, I don't want that bad relationship. I don't want that bad toxic work environment, whatever. Oh, good, I don't have that. But what do you want, girl? Like, you could go wherever. What do you want? What makes you part of my journey that I always think I used to think was kind of silly, but actually is so profound. I really quickly after I got peace, I really started focusing on beauty. And I was real poor. I didn't have much at that time. And I would just pick flowers in my neighborhood. I just wanted beauty in my home. I started this whole big remodeling journey too that I'm still in. But I just started putting little bits of beauty in my life. And that just reminded me of my beauty, of the what was possible, that there's always more, and that just having a baseline of peace wasn't where I was after. I was after the gorgeousness of life.
And I think that's interesting that you say that, right? Because oftentimes, like I've had clients ask me, well, how do I find happiness? How do I find joy? How do I find this? And it comes down to a decision. And it doesn't have to be, okay, you want to go from upset to happy tomorrow, probably isn't going to happen like that. But actively doing things that take you closer to where you want to be, no matter how small it is, right? So, like, if you're a person who might have been in a situation where you never were able to create time for yourself, you may not be able to have a whole weekend to yourself right away, but taking an hour a day, committing that to that, and then an hour a day for a month, then maybe you have time for two, or now that you actually experience the happiness and the contentment and the joy that you have been desiring for so long. Now you're gonna crave it because you know it's possible. But oftentimes we want to make these like 180 jumps, and it's not always realistic for us. But we have to give ourselves some grace, and sometimes we have to spoon feed ourselves to that point so that we can, first of all, accept it in wholeness, because sometimes we're unable to do that as well. But then also really get clear about what it is we want and what that looks like for us.
I think that's a really, I love everything you said, Letitia. And I think also like that last part of getting clear on what we even want is so crucial, because I think sometimes what I see and have experienced is you're like, well, what do I even want? What even is it? And then you just get kind of stuck because we've spent so long living at a baseline that we have forgotten that childlike freedom of imagining all of the delights that we had. You know, like every religion, everything draws us back to childhood. Be more childlike, like get back to that delight. You don't have all the luxuries in the world. Go look at a flower. You don't have all the time in the world. Take a breath. You know, you're right. It's those baseline simple things. You can't enjoy the bigness if you can't enjoy the smallness. You know, it has got to start with a baseline, right? And it's the most boring journey ever, but it's the only true way. Start small and work incrementally. That's the only advice. And people, we all want the shortcuts. We want the magic story. Oh my gosh, this happened. Nothing happens overnight besides giving birth. You know, that's the only miracle that happens overnight. And even that was a nine plus month journey to even start that.
Absolutely. And that's what's amazing to me, right? Like, we know this from a conscious level, like,
Know it.
we recognize it. But for some reason,
We
that
fight it. We don't
knowledge.
want it to be true.
Yeah.
Tell me some other way. Write the most, like, let me buy the package. Let me buy the program that gives me another way. There's no other way than just doing it every morning. And that's when we know what we really care about, because we have the perseverance to keep going toward that. You know,
Absolutely. And
and that's
it's
the
a
beauty. Yeah.
absolutely. And it's about just staying aligned. Like, I think sometimes people think that they have to make these massive changes, and they just have to be aligned changes, right? Like,
Yeah.
instead of doing all of the things, just focus on the things that are most aligned with where you want to go and where you want to be. And I think that's a huge element there. So many of us get burnt out doing
Yeah.
things that don't take us closer to where we want to be, and we
Right.
don't recognize that. Like, sometimes, I mean, like, as a mother, you've got to be doing things that you don't always want to do. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
But when it comes to your life and your happiness and joy, you should be questioning yourself whether or not, is this aligned? Is this taking me closer to where I need to be? And if it isn't, giving yourself permission to park it.
Well, and that's a good point. That was something that I thought strongly about when I transitioned into the next chapter of my life. I really got simple about the pillars and goals in my life. For me, it was obtaining this house I'm in now, so having a stable home to live in, and prioritizing my time with my children, and then maintaining peace in my life. Three things: the house, kids, peace. So when it came time for sharing time with the kids, I had it all very delineated, right? You've got this new rhythm of time with your children. I knew exactly what I was doing, whether it was driving them somewhere, going to their game. I always joke, I'm like, my new part-time job is watching Little League baseball, like 17,000 games a week. But guess what? I made the decision once that watching and supporting my children is my priority. So I am happy about it. I might joke or complain about it. It's cold. Oh my gosh. But you know what? There's nowhere else I'd rather be. And because I decided initially what my values were, that is my value. And so, yes, we're doing the dishes, we're doing the things, but because it's our value to prioritize our families, then I'm delighted by my choices. I'm missing out on what? Some this, that social thing. I could care less. Could not care less.
I feel you 100. And it's interesting that you bring up the values, right? Because, and you kind of mentioned this earlier about how we get attached to, like, societal expectation.
Yes.
Oftentimes, we don't even recognize our own values, right? Because we have been living a life that has been prescribed by the conveyor belt of success. Like, I talk about that, like, get a good job, do really well in that job, and you just
Conveyor
follow
belt
this
of
conveyor.
success.
Right? You get caught up in the conveyor belt of success. Oftentimes, we're conditioned to want certain things in
Yes.
life. And because we don't recognize that we have radical ownership of our lives, we just go with the flow. And
Yes.
then wonder why we are unhappy.
Yeah.
It's about getting aligned with our values and really spending some time identifying what they are. Because
Yes.
sometimes we're out of alignment because we're simply not in touch with what our values are. You know,
Yes.
it oftentimes we really just don't know who we are
You're kind of
as a
floating around
result
like
of
amoebas. Well,
this.
and you just identified when we're in this latter stage of like knowing all these possibilities, that's where we can get sucked into a new cycle of our own making, which is that comparison game where we don't know our values. And so everything that crosses our eyeballs, do we want that? We don't know if we want it or not. That influencer's lifestyle, those clothes, that I'm just thinking of things I think about, you know, like all of these things. Do I want that? Do I want that? And if you don't know your own values, then it's easy to get caught up. And then what? We live in this anxiety, this shame, this discontentment, because even though we have created this new life with everything right in front of us, we can't even, we don't have eyes to see it because we're not anchored into our values. And so we're just looking at this new paradigm of all the things women are showing us we want. We want the perfect body, the perfect skin. It's all attainable. Just pay me, right? And then it leads to this new complex that we can develop if we don't guard ourselves and anchor into what we all have access to, which is our values, ourselves, and just take some time to figure out what that is. And then all that stuff can come and go. Oh, look at that person's great life. Neat for them. I'm living my great life. There's space for all of us to be living our maximum lives without anyone's diminishing.
Absolutely. And I think, that's the real goal, being able to live our maximum life,
And our minds free us to that. It's all right here. It's all right here.
But sometimes our minds are our biggest up,
100%.
Tracy.
Oh my
I talk
gosh.
about that all this time because, like, similar to what I was telling you earlier about the peace element, right? Like, my brain was telling me peace was boring because it got so used to dysfunction. So it's very important, especially once we get to that place of recognizing what our values are and what our deepest desires are, to then challenge our narratives around attaining it, right? And challenge ourselves every day. Like, once I recognize the link between our thought processes and our actions, and that's something you would think, I think none coaches would want, like, you would think we recognize that, but not often we do, right?
I
So
know.
once I made that link, once I learned how our emotions, our feelings, and all of that thought processes affect our actions, it was very important for me to then start challenging my thoughts. And I do it out loud. Like, initially, I looked like an absolute crazy person because I would catch myself in a thought process that I knew was not aligned, that I knew didn't serve me, that I knew was a lie. And I would literally be like, girl, we are not going there today. Out loud, yes. We're not doing that. No. I'll be walking on the street. No, we're not doing that today. But it was necessary because 95% of our thoughts are recycled, and about 50% of our thoughts are blatant lies, right? So if we are not challenging these, we are sabotaging ourselves without recognition.
I 100% believe. I was just thinking about that with my own business. Like when you're at like a cusp of growth, it's always that's when it seems like we're the most susceptible to lies because you're going to do something scary. So then the insecurity comes in. Oh my gosh, am I good enough? Blah, blah, blah. All these doubts, which are lies, come in. And yeah, we need, and that's where we need to work on our mindset and we need each other, like what you're doing. Just we need to say it out loud. We need to speak the truth out loud. And we need support. We need our girlfriends, we need our people around us, our coaches to help weed out those lies. It's like garden party. Weed out, weed, weed. And guess what? The weeds come back every time. They're just there. And I think that's the surrender to knowing, not trying to live this perfect mind, like lifestyle with your mindset or not, but just surrendering to the reality that the weeds come. Oh, hi, weed. There you are. Let's pluck you out. The pitfalls come up in our lives, but when we're more on this healing journey, this abundant, this freedom journey, we can just recognize it. We don't have to, I always say, like layer shame on top of the root issue, right? Because then you're just dealing with the shame. Oh my gosh. And then you just see it for what it is, pluck it out, and continue on.
And that is radical acceptance as well, right? Like, we're not trying to flow against the tide. It's like, I see it
It's
and
there.
I don't have to own it. In that moment, I can let it go. I don't have to pick it up and put it in my purse and carry this baggage. You know what I
No,
mean?
there's
Like,
just so many like snacks and chopsticks and things in my purse already. So much in my purse.
so much. We already carrying like the weight of half the world. Come on, stop weighing yourself down. Erica
Love
Badu said, "Big lady, you gonna hurt your back." So let it go, let it go. Tracy, I've enjoyed this conversation so much.
Same.
tell us how we can connect with you.
Yeah. So if you're looking for support, specifically navigating divorce, you can just go to my website, which is tracygremenz.com. So you can probably link that. And, if you're interested in very low level social media connections, you can follow my DIY projects on my Instagram and see some little posts and maybe just hear me talk about this kind of reflections on life. You can look at that on Instagram. But, part of the weeding of the mind is like, I just keep the socials a little low key in my life,
I can relate to that wholeheartedly. I'm only in places simply for continuity in time, so
I love it.
you know. So before we wrap it all up, give us one key takeaway for the listeners.
I think, like we were just talking about, radical acceptance is not layering shame on top of a situation, but just letting it be and trusting that you can, this moment, this thing does not define you. This is one piece of your life, and you have the agency and everything you need within you to move beyond this one piece right now.
Thank you so much, Tracy. Listeners, you have everything you need to move beyond where you are right now. Thank you so much for your time, Tracy. Listeners, thanks for catching another episode. And I just want to remind you, you were not built to break. You damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week.